You're listening to Talking Buildings, the podcast related to all things about the built environment. Here is your host, Paul Angus.
Today on Talking Buildings, we have a very special guest joining us. I'm really delighted that Whitney McLaren, Director of Clients and Strategy at Deloitte PDS Group, is joining the podcast today. And we're recording from the wonderful Deloitte's offices on level 31 in Melbourne. A very warm welcome to the hot seat, Whitney. This podcast has been a work in progress for some time now, and I'm glad we're finally getting this opportunity to chat.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Love it. Today, we're going to cover the black art of business development. One of the key questions I often get asked by younger engineers is how I can teach them business development. I'm sure that's the same question you get from a lot of grads as well. Well, this podcast is especially for all of you tuning in as we're taking a deep dive with this masterclass in business development. In this discussion, we'll aim to cover the following topics: the importance of your personal brand, elevating your professional profile, and tips to build and maintain your network. And of course, the elevator pitch. Instead of reading out Whitney's bio from LinkedIn, which I recommend you all do, by the way, let's picture the scene. All of our listeners who are tuning in around Australia and the rest of the world, no pressure, Whitney, are suddenly meeting you for the very first time. So I'll set the scene. We're at a client's cocktail party and suddenly there's a gap in the conversation and it's your time to shine. So let's hear your elevator pitch.
Well, gosh, nothing like putting me quite on the spot here. And obviously, your elevator pitch really does need to be focused on the person that you're meeting with and talking to. And there's certainly nuances, you know, whether they're a client, whether they're a consultant, what they're looking for. But I do, what I have found to be really helpful is, you know, I've got a bit of a framework that I put together, you know, for people who are working on their elevator pitch for the company that they currently work in.
Yeah.
So what I will do is I will sort of share a very, I guess, my elevator pitch for Deloitte PDS Group. And obviously this will get into the structure of an elevator pitch. I'd love to share some advice on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this does need to obviously be tailored, but I will share with you how mine goes.
Okay.
And it'll give you a bit of a sense on how to frame an elevator pitch.
Let's hear it.
So, Paul, let's just assume that you are a developer and you have an in-house project management team. You're carrying those overhead. So this is sort of how I'd respond to you.
Okay.
So, Paul, are you frustrated with builders factoring risk into your construction price or building floor plates not maximising NSA or carrying in-house overheads when your projects stall through planning? You know, maybe your project manager doesn't have the right sector expertise for your project. This is where Deloitte PDS Group can help. As Australia's leading national development and project management firm, specialising in projects from $10 million to $400 million across all real estate and construction sectors, you know, we've managed the delivery of more than $5 billion of assets, drawing on a team of 80 staff nationally with significant and broad expertise. You know, what makes us unique and different to our competitors? The fact that we're a people-led, value-add-focused, truly national firm with a repeat client base of more than 75%. You know, really, I'd love to come and have a coffee with you next week, not at this cocktail party, at a time and place convenient for you, where I can really share with you how we can add value to your project.
Excellent. What an elevator pitch.
Well, as I said, I guess the important thing is really it needs to be tailored. It needs to be specific.
Of course.
All depends on the audience that you're pitching and talking to.
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the easier that it gets and the
100%.
More natural that it becomes and the less scripted it sounds as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you're going to a client function or if you're going to a specific conference, you might know who the people are or what the theme is.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you're at a cocktail function, you could be talking to anyone.
Yeah,
like a builder from a hydraulic engineer, right through to a builder, to a developer, it doesn't matter. You don't know, do you, until you start talking
to them. Absolutely. But, you know, for me, it's so important just before you do launch right into that elevator pitch.
Yeah.
You know, really, I guess, try to find common grounds with that person. And I'm probably going to be delving into my masterclass of where we're going to be going. But just, you know, you don't want to launch straight in with your elevator pitch as soon as you meet someone. You know, that seems very, very transactional.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to be relationship based. You know, find that common ground, start that conversation.
Yeah.
And then within time, over the course of the evening, that's where you can weave in your elevator pitch, understand where their pain points are in their projects or how you can potentially help. You know, that is where I would weave it in more naturally. I wouldn't just launch at someone straight away with my elevator pitch. You want to be armed with it so that you know how to tailor it and make it specific to that person. But at first, you know, find that common ground and relationship, understand their projects and what they're doing. And then at the right point in time, you can weave in with that elevator pitch. And the point of it really is, do you know what the point of the elevator pitch is?
Well, you're jumping ahead.
Shit, I'm so sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah.
It's really to lock in that next one-on-one coffee catch-up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay. So for those who are unfamiliar with the elevator pitch, Whitney.
Back on script, my apologies.
For those unfamiliar with the elevator pitch, can you elaborate on the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to elevator pitches? And what does an elevator pitch mean to you?
An elevator pitch is actually a commercial, and it's about you and what you do. Mm-hmm. It really needs to articulate your value proposition. You know, why you, why your team, why your company? What is it about you that makes you different? It has to be used to create interest.
Okay.
And resonate with the person that you're pitching to. And it's got to, you know, it's got to be really short, sharp, and concise. It's got to be, I guess, where it gets its name from. The elevator pitch, it's got to be the length of an elevator ride.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be memorable so that it resonates with the person that you're speaking with, and it needs to be succinct. And as I said, you know, Paul, what did you know what the goal is of the elevator pitch?
What's the goal of the elevator pitch, Whitney?
It's to lock in that coffee catch-up, that one-on-one catch-up. So you can imagine it's pretty hard. You're at a cocktail party.
Yeah.
You know, don't go in for the kill and be trying to pitch to win work there. You know, really it's focus on establishing that relationship, pique their interest, share your pitch, share with them what you do.
Yeah.
But really the goal is to be able to catch up with them one-on-one for them, for them to have that need to go, you know what, I need to catch up with Whitney or Paul next week for that coffee. I'm curious. I want to find out more about what they do and how their business and or their firm can help me.
Yeah. Terrific. I guess it's also about making a connection as well, isn't it? Making that connection and keeping that connection alive, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, to that point, you know, I actually, it's funny, I've worked in sales my whole life.
Have you?
In business development roles, 15 years. But I'm actually not really a salesy. I don't think of myself as being a salesy person. You know, to me, that sounds very, very transactional. All my business development, everything has all been relationship-based.
You
know, that is really just so important when you're networking, and importantly when you're at a party and you're sharing your elevator pitch or you meet someone for the first time.
Yeah.
If it comes across, you know, too salesy, too pitchy, it's not authentic.
Yeah.
It won't resonate with people. People won't connect with you. So really, you know, as you said, relationships sort of underpin everything and finding that point to connect on.
Yeah. And so for anyone who's unfamiliar with the elevator pitch, is there anything they can do or anything that they can like sort of work on to make that happen?
Yeah, sure. So there is a bit of a rule of thumb here called the 9 C's when you're thinking about or constructing your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important that your pitch is clear.
Okay.
You want it to be concise.
Yeah.
It needs to be credible. You need it to be believable.
Yeah.
It needs to be consistent and reinforcing, you know, the same message. It needs to be conversational. You know, you don't want to sound like you're literally just reading off a script. You need to be able to weave it in through conversations.
Not like a robot.
Absolutely. It needs to be conceptual, concrete, and importantly, it needs to be compelling. It needs to be, you know, believable.
Okay.
And, you know, lastly, the last C is customized. It's really important. You know, you can't have your one pitch. Every person that you're pitching to has a different need, a different background, a different. So you need to be able to tailor your pitch to your audience. But so they're sort of the 9 C's, which I use as a bit of a guide when you are thinking about constructing your elevator pitch.
Awesome. That's really helpful. So I guess in my experience, I mean, you can tell as well, but some people are more naturally gifted at holding an audience or, you know, like if they're talking to someone in a group of two or you know, a big group of people as well, or it might be the whole room, and they can always hold the conversation, you know, and they're very interesting and they're very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, sort of vibrant and
charismatic,
that's the word I'm looking for. So for those who find the elevator pitch quite demanding or very stressful, can you give some examples of how to develop a storyboard for your unique elevator pitch that you just talked about there?
Absolutely. So in the elevator pitch, the example that I shared with you absolutely does follow this format. And this is something that if you are thinking of putting together your elevator pitch for the first time, there is a structure that I think is worthwhile to follow, and particularly those who may not be as confident in delivering an elevator pitch or when they're out networking and meeting people.
Yeah.
This is a really good format to sort of work, I guess, framework as you think about your elevator pitch.
Okay.
So really importantly, it's I always start with stating the problem, you know, what might be your client's problem.
Yeah.
You follow that up pretty quickly with, you know, how you can present your solution, how you are there to help them, how you can help address their needs or their challenge. Then importantly, you have to explain why people should trust you.
Yeah.
And why they should be trusting you.
Yeah.
Then you need to describe your value proposition, you know, why are you different, what you can offer to them and how you can help them.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it's important to finish your elevator pitch by offering a call to action. You know, lock in, would love to have a coffee. Can let me come meet you at a time and place convenient for you.
Yeah.
You need to make it, it's important. You need to make it easy for the person that you're pitching to. You know, don't tell them, oh, next time you're near my suburb, stop by for a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be really clear and concise and say, you know, I'll come meet you at this date and time if that's convenient for you, at a location convenient for you.
Fantastic. This is all gold. I love it. I've had the pleasure of seeing you in action at client functions. I have to say, I was truly impressed. The ability to break the ice with intriguing questions, not only in one-on-one situations, but also in larger group situations, that's certainly unique. And you have an inherent skill. I think this is really good.
Thank you.
So I've got a question for you. In terms of, we're talking about the elevator pitches here, but what's the purpose or what's the difference between an icebreaker and an elevator pitch?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as I've already mentioned, you know, when you're at a function or meeting someone for the first time, you don't just go in with your elevator pitch and go into, you know, your salesy salesy role. You know, it's just, as I said, the way I approach everything, it's all about authentic relationships. So, you know, when you meet someone for the first time and trying to come up with an ice, you know, icebreakers are so helpful, but it's all, you know, it comes back to relationships. For me, it's really about trying to, you want to firstly make the person feel comfortable, you know, find a common ground to be talking about, you know, what interests they have. Or did you, you know, if you hear an accent, oh, where, you know, how long have you been in Australia for, Paul? You know, where did you grow up? Where did you go to university? Or what brought you out to Australia? You know, ask them questions that show that you're interested in them. And, but also, you know, through that, it helps them feel comfortable, but also it gives you gems to be able to pick up on and, I guess common linkages to be able to discuss, you know, whether you've got young kids and are they at school or where are they at school or where did you study university or where have you worked? What projects have you been working on? Just, you know, be listening to their responses and see where they're comfortable and, you know, or what they're passionate or interested in. And that's sort of where I'll always take the conversation. So asking a lot of questions to get to know them and show that you're interested. Is always how I sort of, I guess, try to break the ice when I'm at a networking event or meeting someone for the very first time.
Excellent. That leads me nicely to my next question. Before you even start thinking about jumping headfirst into the world of business development, just like any building that will last the test of time, you need to lay strong foundations, What are the key components of creating your personal brand, Whitney?
So, Paul, it's really, really important when you are networking to think about your personal brand because your personal brand is your story and it's how people remember you. And it's funny, so many people that I do have these conversations with and they're thinking about going out networking and asking how do they go about doing it. And I'll say to them, you know, what is your personal brand? Can you articulate? Can you tell me your personal brand? And no one really thinks about what their personal brand is or what their unique story is. And everybody has a unique story to share. And for people to connect with. But also, you know, in the networking world, it's how people do remember them. So, you know, when I ask people to think about personal brand, the components of personal brand, it's, you know, it's your background, it's your education, it's your values, what's important to you. You know, what are your passions and interests? You know, it's really important to know what they are so that you come across as being interesting when people connect with you. And also it creates ways for people to connect with you. You know, what, again, important, you know, what are your strengths? Own them, be proud of them. What are you good at? You know, what is getting, you know, a little bit more specific to the industry? You know, what is your industry experience? What projects have you been working on? What are your sector experience? You know, who are your clients? You know, these all are elements that tie into your personal brand. You know, it's also important to, you know, we all spend a lot of time at work, but, you know, it's important to have that balance. And, you know, what do you get up to on the weekend? And, you know, do you enjoy travel and restaurants? You know, weaving in that human element is so important when we're networking. And I think certainly post-COVID as well, you know, people want to connect with people. They don't necessarily want when they read a CV or they're meeting someone who's just so gung-ho and only delivered buildings. And we want to connect with people. And so people want to know what your passions and your interests and what you do as well. I think, you know, just it's really important when we're thinking about personal brand, all those elements outside of work as well that we can bring in when we're networking and forming those relationships.
Yeah. Well, that's a big list, that, isn't it? So is the personal brand something that's a virtual thing or is it something that is around you all the time or something that's written down? Or is it, how would you describe what the personal brand is?
I think it does help writing it down, but at the same time, it's you. It's instinctively, it's intrinsically you. It's your DNA. It's everything about you. You know, for me, my personal brand transcends my professional life and my personal life. Like what you, how you see me at work is how you see me at home, how you see me on the weekends with kids.
Yeah.
I connect with people in the exact same way. And I think that's really important because that's what comes back to authenticity as well.
Yeah.
And I guess I also use that to establish, you know, when I'm networking clients, consultants, you know, my view is that they become my friends as well. And that's how you, you know, that's how you establish those long sort of, I guess, trusted partners, relationships and friendships. And let's face it, we spend so much time at work.
Uh-huh.
That's what makes work fun and enjoyable when we're working with our friends. But, you know, I think it's important for people who are sort of thinking about going out there and networking for the first time and I'm going to these cocktail parties and industry functions and I don't know a lot of people and I don't know what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think about you and, you know, what's interesting about you? What are your passions? What, you know, what projects have you worked on?
Mm-hmm.
But how do you want to portray yourself?
Yeah.
Because that's how people will remember you. It's really important.
Yeah.
Just when we are networking for people, your personal brand comes through and it's how people will remember you as well.
Yeah. That leads me on nicely because, that list that you just rattled off there, you'd be able to sort of like wrap that up in terms of who you are in terms of that list and give us some sort of an example so that our listeners can get a bit of perspective on and creating their own personal brand.
Absolutely. And I encourage, as you said at the beginning, Paul, for anyone listening, you know, feel free to jump on and have a look at my LinkedIn profile and you'll see some posts that I've also highlighted on my profile and hopefully that my personal brand comes through in these posts and you'll see how this resonates. But, you know, unlike many of you listening to this podcast who probably have, you know, a technical expertise, you know, whether they're an engineer or a builder, I don't have any of those skills. My background, I did an arts degree and then a master's of business. But, you know, I've built a career out of networking, business development and really relationships. You know, I feel very fortunate. And I guess, you know, I've come to describe myself, you know, what do I do?
Yeah.
Components of my personal brand. You know, it's, I describe myself as being a super connector. You know, I love nothing more than bringing people together for business reasons, but also for personal reasons. And so I sort of, I guess I call myself a bit of a super connector. And I guess my key skill is around my ability to understand, relate to and connect people. You know, nothing gives me greater pleasure and more satisfaction doing that. And, you know, I'm very open about this and I love this. I've had a very unique and wonderful upbringing. My father's a crayfisherman, you know, a hardworking crayfisherman from Western Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother, and I should say, you know, failed English at high school, so had two choices. It was to go farming or fishing and he went fishing. And my mother's Harvard educated from the, you know, the East Coast of America. So two very different backgrounds. And we had an amazing upbringing growing up in Perth, Western Australia, but spending time over on the East Coast every year. And, you know, just that unique background has given me my ability to be able to connect with people from all different backgrounds, educations, walks of life. You know, I can connect, have a wonderful conversation with the street cleaner, the same way that I can hold a conversation with a boardroom set of execs as well. And for me, that's really important in my role when networking, to be able to connect with people of all different backgrounds. You know, as I shared, you know, I've grown up in WA, but I've been in Victoria for the last 20 years, you know, and I find that that's certainly really important, you know, in our industry when we're networking. You know, if I, you know, I do have a national role now, but when I'm back in WA, I play the local WA Perth girl card. But when I'm in Victoria, I've obviously been here for a very long time and I've got a huge network here as well. Again, as I touched on before, you know, my personal brand is the same at home as it is professionally. And and that does sort of come through on my networking and through on LinkedIn. And I've sort of got a bit of a, been known to, in our industry as the crayfishing lady, you know, with my crayfishing father and we might, if the conversation goes there a bit later on, but I can, I'll share just, with some stories in lockdown and delivering crayfish, which has sort of helped me earn, I guess, that the nickname is being known as the crayfishing lady here in Victoria. Importantly, you know, just again on my personal brand, you know, it's so important to be real and authentic and that's what people do connect with. And I encourage you when, you know, when you are out there going out there and networking, just be yourself. That's what people, who people connect with. You know, and it's important to also be vulnerable. You know, none of us are perfect and we've all got our challenges at any one time. And, you know, just it's important to be real and own those vulnerabilities because it's, you know, it's through sharing that that I often find that's when you can be connecting with people. You know, I place, you know, a huge important part of my personal brand is the network that I've built, you know, over my professional career. I'm also a really proud working mum. You know, I've got two young boys, they're 5 and 7, and, you know, that certainly keeps me busy, but I'm, you know, full-time working mum, and, you know, and that's a huge part of my brand and my story, and I guess being a bit of an example to other women coming through, particularly in our industry, who are navigating the challenges of the juggle.
Yeah.
The last bit that I probably raise as well is it's no secret. I absolutely love tennis. I love playing tennis. I'll clear anything in my diary in January to get an invite to the Australian Open. I think a lot of clients have me on their B list, which I'm very happy to be if someone pulls out last minute. I know they can pick up the phone and they'll have me there as a guest at their event. But again, I share that, you know, we laugh about it, but it's an important part of my brand and loving tennis, and people do know that. And I bring people together on the tennis court and host industry tennis afternoons and round robin challenges or that's sort of my personal brand. And I just encourage you all to think about you. What are those different components? How are people going to remember you? Is it, you know, the tennis loving crayfishing lady, like me, or, you know, think about how people would remember you.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Being memorable, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
You know, you don't want it to be someone that you met that night and then they forget about you the next day. It's just, saying something or being connecting with them in some way that you find a connection that they're on the same sort of wavelength as you.
Absolutely. You know? And you know what? I find that the best networking is when the connection isn't about work. It's a, you know, it's a mutual interest, something go, oh, Paul's really into mountain bike riding. You know, have you seen this good, this great trail that I want to go check out? Or, you know, and, you know, in a couple months' time, you may find yourselves riding together on that mountain bike trail. And, you know, now it's not just a, you know, a professional relationship, but it's a deep, authentic, personal relationship. And that's, to me, what it's all about.
Brilliant. So far in this business development masterclass, we've covered the art of the elevator pitch and the personal brand. So let's now change the dynamic and focus on ways to elevate your professional profile. Elevating your professional profile can be dependent on a number of variables, for example, your experience and where you are in your career. So Whitney, do you have any advice for, let's pick three scenarios. So for those who are starting out, say graduates, those who are 5 to 10 years in their career, and perhaps people who are 10 years in the business. So have you got any advice for them?
Absolutely. So when you are starting out, my first piece of advice was be just say yes to everything. You know, I know people go, oh gosh, I don't want to have a drink at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock at night at an industry B2B. You know, that's when I've got my yoga class or my Pilates class. It is so important to do that. So say yes to every single networking opportunity you get.
Yeah.
That is, you know, it's just so important to start to build that peer group around you at that similar level, because they will be your friends and big supporters through the industry as you progress through. So absolutely say yes to everything. You know, we're so fortunate in the property industry is that, you know, through property council and industry organizations, you know, there's so many different networking opportunities, or, you know, and there's, you know, so many industry sporting teams, for example. I know architects, you know, there's Archie Soccer and whatnot. You know, join a sporting team, I guess, attend any company B2Bs that, you know, that you get invited to attend to. Say yes to everything. Any person that you get to meet, you know, just invest in that relationship on your project teams. You know, go and have a coffee with the people that you're working with. You know, really don't view it as sort of as a once-off sort of project transaction. You know, the industry is actually pretty bloody small. So just every person that you get to meet, you know, view it as a long-term partnership and start investing in that relationship, and it will stand you in really good stead.
Yeah.
You know, for those who probably had 5 or 10 years experience, you know, we internally within your organizations, you know, run a CPD session, a continued professional development session. You know, if you've just finished a project, or, you know, share with them the lessons learned. You know, start to elevate your brand internally as an expert, as someone with a lot of knowledge, and start sharing that within your team. You know, you may want to go, let's profile ourselves. You know, we certainly do this within our organization. You know, we'll run an EDM on a recent project, or a Q&A with a staff member who's just finished a really cool and exciting project. You know, it's really important, the knowledge that we're learning through the projects that we're working on, share that. You know, that's just a really simple, easy way to be elevating your brand as well. Again, you know, it's obvious, but attend all the industry functions that you can. Any networking events that you get invited to, say yes. It's so important. And I know at first when you do start out, they can feel a little bit overwhelming when you don't know anyone. The more you go to, the more people you know, the easier that it gets. And if you 100%. And if you do feel uncomfortable, you know, bring someone with you. Bring a wing woman, a wing man. If that makes it easier for you, do that. But also importantly, say yes before you say no. And for those, you know, who've had more than 10 years experience, you know, really, I think once you get to that point, it's really about giving back at an industry level as well. And, you know, and so, you know, join a PCA or a UDIA committee. you know, accept speaking invitations. And the more that you put yourself out there doing that, the more invitations that you will receive. Mm-hmm. And the more you do that, the more your profile just organically grows and gets out there.
Fantastic. So sticking on to the professional profile, I can recall back and gosh, it must have been about 2007, 2008, I reckon. I was pretty sure it was around about then, when my manager at the time, this is back in the UK, he sent me an invitation to LinkedIn. And I looked at it and hovered. I don't know if you remember the first time you got a LinkedIn invite, but I looked at this and I thought,
what is this?
What is this?
So, Facebook for
yeah, it's like, what is this? And I thought it was some sort of recruitment site. You know, I clicked on it and mm-hmm. had a looky and, you know, I was wandering around. But I didn't know at that time how influential LinkedIn would be and the impact towards my brand and my mm-hmm. professional profile as well. So how effective is LinkedIn in elevating your professional profile, Whitney?
Oh my goodness. It's just the absolute lowest hanging fruit in terms of elevating your profile at our fingertips. And it's free. Mm-hmm. And everyone in our industry is on it. You know, yeah, I now wake up in the mornings and I used to, you know, it used to be Instagram or Facebook or,
yeah.
Going to show my age here.
Or it still is.
You know, that I'd check the news feed. For me now, it's LinkedIn. Uh-huh. And it's a really amazing way to, you know, stay across industry news and sort of scroll through and see who's transacting on what or who, mm-hmm. you know, just, and following movements across the industry, who's moving what. But it's just, you know, in Australia, gosh, there's you know, over 12 million users here in Australia. I think it's the seventh most downloaded business app in the world. It's so accessible. It's uh-huh. on your phone. It's free. It's easy. It's the easiest way when you meet someone at a networking event, you know, ping, connect with them, look them up on LinkedIn. It's just a really easy way to, I guess, harness and stay in touch with your network as well.
Yeah, yeah. There seems to be quite a fine line in how to use LinkedIn to its full potential. I don't know if you agree, but I've seen some really good posts and then I've seen some cringeworthy posts. So I just wonder if you've got any top tips on how to maximize LinkedIn as a tool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a really great question, Paul. And it's funny. I remember, you know, it was in COVID, in lockdown here in Melbourne. It's two very long years, 2020 and 2021. Uh-huh. And as a business development professional, when you couldn't go out there and do BD in the normal ways that we would, you couldn't have coffees, you couldn't have lunch, and how do you connect with people? And that's, I guess, when I really started to focus on posting on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting the engagement that I get we've just won this new project, we've just been appointed to this new project. You know, you'd get some level of engagement. Uh-huh. But what I really found was when you shared a post, you know, about your family and the juggles of, you know, the chaos at home, juggling uh-huh. working with the family and trying to homeschool kids or, mm-hmm. you know, just, I guess, that level of authenticity and your personal brand coming through. It's that personal element. That's what people see. That's what people connect with. You know, it's not, if it's all about you and the company and you're beating your chest and, you know, of course there's a place for that as well. And, you know, and mm-hmm. exciting new projects that you want to sort of launch. But again, don't make it about you. Don't make it too salesy and too chest beating, you know, just make it about the people. And I guess if you are announcing a new and exciting project, you know, talk about the team that's been involved in that, not just about me, I've done this, I've done that, you know, this is the client, these are the consultants, together we, you know, we've achieved this outcome.
Yeah.
I have had a lot of people comment on my LinkedIn profile, and I think what people do like is just the consistency, just in terms of my brand, my values, all of that I do think about when I do write my posts, and that does come through, I think.
Yeah.
I've had that feedback, and that's what does resonate with people. So I think it's that's something that I would consider before I do post on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, it's just making it genuine, isn't it?
You know, that's
and
all
something
it is.
People
it's
can relate to, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's actually pretty easy.
Yeah. It's funny because before I obviously did this, I was doing a lot about stalking on your LinkedIn profile. Uh-huh. And, you know, I hope that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I stalk all the time.
Yes. I was just doing a little bit of research, and I have to say some of the posts you got on there are tremendous, and you have got a lot of, and it's not all about likes, it's not all about viewers either, but mm-hmm. it's making an impact, right?
Absolutely.
And I was looking at what I've got in comparison to what you've got, and you're doing very, very well. So I know you've got the magic touch when it comes to composing LinkedIn posts, and I do really, really recommend that anyone that's listening to have a look on Whitney's page to get some examples. So we've kind of just touched upon it there, but have you got any secrets on how you can elaborate on what makes a successful post?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I said, people want to connect with you as a real person. So mm-hmm. they want it to be authentic as well.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking back to some of my posts and, you know, just for context, you know, I know when I announced that I joined Deloitte PDS Group and, you know, announcing my new role, which I was pretty excited about to the industry, that had over 33,000 views. You know, we talk about reach and market cut through and raising your profile. That's some pretty, I guess, incredible impact, you know, through and speaks to the power of LinkedIn as well.
It's like a small football stadium, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. you know, I guess I'm also really passionate about relationships, you know, I hope that does come through in this conversation and, you know, sharing tips for how I build relationships. You know, as I said, I don't have the technical skill. I'm not a project manager, but I'm a relationship builder and a connector. And so in sharing those relationships, tips and tricks, and, you know, I think I've posted up here with a photo. I recall posting a photo of me holding a couple of crayfish and I said, I'm keen to hear what are your best tips. You know, let's share ideas and whoever gives me the best relationship building advice, I might send a crayfish their way. You know, and that was a really great way to get some engagement and I guess speaks to me being known as the crayfishing lady. You know, I must say it was back in 2021, I was asked to, you know, do a video for my company in the lead up to Are You Okay Day. And I was just going to, you know, we all are guilty of this and we always put forward our best versions on social media and on LinkedIn. And, you know, and I was going to film something saying, you know, I know this is tough, guys, hang in there, check in on each other. And and the reality was, you know, it was, I think, our fifth or sixth lockdown here in Melbourne. I was pretty bloody broken myself, you know, living in Victoria, family over in WA. And I think I remember I'd taken a picture of myself earlier that week in the car when I'd gone to the supermarket away from my kids and I was just in tears, just going, this is pretty messed up. And I remember taking that photo going, I'm just, you know, when life gets good again, I want to remember, you know, it's pretty easy to forget the hard times. And I said, I just want to, you know, I took that photo for myself to remember how I was actually feeling at the time. And it took me a week, truthfully, to build up the courage going, do I want to put this side of me out there to my network, to my professional network, more importantly, out there on LinkedIn. And as I said, it took me a week to get that courage to do it, but I did it. And the post went viral. I think it was reshared over 500 times. There was over 3 million views. But I'm fortunate that I've always had amazing relationships in our industry and some pretty senior men and women who've been huge supporters and advocates for me over the years. But, you know, the messages that I got going, God, I respected you before, but now it's just gone to that next level. Like you have articulated how we're all feeling. And it was just the biggest lesson for me. You know, that's what people connect with. None of us are perfect. Just be real. And even in your social media profile, you know, in your LinkedIn posting as well, you know, that's what people connect with. And and it's, you know, let's celebrate the good times, but also the challenges that we're going through as well. And our industry is full of challenges right now.
Of course.
People want to hear about that and can share with that, connect with that. And also come up with, then we can collectively come up with solutions about how we can address that as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really interesting. What did you say, 3 million views?
Yeah, 3 million views, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think LinkedIn even actually commented on it as well.
Did they?
And, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Wow, that's mental. Wow. Okay, just to recap, in this fantastic business development masterclass, we've covered the art of the elevator pitch and personal brand, plus ways to elevate your professional profile. So we're on the home stretch now. So let's start cooking with these magic ingredients and focus on relationships and tips to build and maintain your network. So what would you say is the value of an approach to networking, Whitney?
Yes, well, when I think about networking, you know, it's really simple to break it down to the who, what, where, and why of networking.
Okay.
So who do we network with? You know, and I guess, you know, every day in all our interactions at work, we're networking, whether that's with clients, with consultants, with contractors, you know, every person, every conversation that we have, we're actually doing some form of networking, whether you realize it or not. You know, for me, how do I go about my networking? You know, it's so important to just be authentic, genuine, engaged. And that's actually pretty easy. We can all do that. So that's certainly how I go about my networking. And I'd encourage you all to do that as well. You know, I guess I ask the question, you know, for me, what is networking? You know, it's not just a transaction or it's an exchange of industry intel. You know, it's really, it's a long-term approach to a relationship. That's how I view networking. And, you know, where of it, you know, where do we do it? You know, for me, I find it, I do it through finding common grounds and interests to connect with people on. And, you know, why do we do it? Well, it's fun. But also importantly, listeners, you know, it really is the single best way to fast track your career is to build a large network. That's what's going to open up career opportunities, both internally and externally. And the bigger the network you have, the more advocates you have, the more that you can help other people, the bigger impact that you can have,
yeah,
the sooner your profile will be elevated and your career will be fast-tracked.
Excellent. I have to say, it all sounds just like common sense, doesn't it?
It's actually really, yeah, really simple. And that's, yeah, what, you know, we don't need to overcomplicate it.
Uh-huh.
And when you approach networking in that way, just about being you,
yeah,
being authentic, being real and connecting with people,
yeah,
we can all do it.
Yeah. But it's remarkable how people can get the value and approach of networking so wrong, though,
mm-hmm,
huh? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any tips for building relationships and increasing your network?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, you know, just the biggest mistake that people can make is to be really transactional and what's, mm-hmm, in it for them and what can they get out of it.
Yeah.
And that's where I think so many people do come unstuck. You know, they're focused on that short-term goal.
Yeah.
As I've touched on, you know, when you are going about networking and trying to increase your network, you know, just as we've shared, you know, connect with people and just be authentic in your approach to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you do meet with someone, do as you say and follow through. You know, if you say you'll send, that you'll introduce them to this consultant or this client, make,
yeah,
sure that you actually do it. Don't just,
yes,
say it and not follow through.
Uh-huh.
A really simple one, but when you've, you know, you've locked in that coffee catch up after that tremendous elevator pitch at that cocktail party,
yeah,
make sure that you're on time. You know, if, mm-hmm, you're running 5-10 minutes late, it just shows that you're not valuing their time. Everyone's pretty busy. We're all,
yeah,
running to tight schedules. It's a really simple one. Be on time.
Mm-hmm.
The little things do go a long way to create trust. You know, I remember one of my clients early on in my career was flying back overseas and had made an offer on a property. And, mm-hmm, you know, the agent rang and said, if you want to buy it, you need to have a signed contract and a check. And he was at the airport. So I remember at the time my husband drove me out to the airport. He did laps around Melbourne Airport while I ran in,
really,
into the International Departures Lounge, oh, and met the client. He came out from the lounge to get that contract signed. And from that day on, we had that client. You know, so it's those little things that, yeah, go a long way to,
gosh,
create trust. You know, when you are building relationships, know your audience. You know, if you can do your research beforehand, you know, and I always will look them up on LinkedIn. What are our common connections? What projects have they worked on? What, you know, what sectors are they interested in? I always do like to do my research on the person that I'm meeting with before I do go and have that coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to go in blind, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And importantly, if you are bringing team members as well, when you are going into pitch,
mm-hmm,
make sure you brief them too. Don't let them fly blind. So,
uh-huh,
so do your research and share with them.
Yeah.
You know, importantly, when you are trying to build a relationship, share in other people's success as well. That's so important. When clients get amazing outcomes, share in their joy, and that, you know, that they'll really, really,
yeah,
appreciate that. As we've touched on, know your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Have that ready so you do come across as being knowledgeable and you know how to tweak it to address their needs and articulate what you do and how you can help them. You know, my last real tip, I treat clients as my friends. And obviously,
yeah,
this is a skill that has to be developed over time and,
uh-huh,
you can't be too friendly early on.
Uh-huh.
With time, you do get better at this. And my goal with all of my clients is at the end of the day that they will become my friends. You know, projects go for several years and you spend a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's always the end goal. But also importantly, treat everyone equally. You know, I still remember when I started out in my career working for a builder, trying to get us on tender lists and ringing,
yeah,
up the techs. And who were responsible for which builders would be put on those tender lists. And I remember very clearly,
mm-hmm,
you know, the architects who gave me the time of day when I was 20 something years old, having just left university.
Yeah.
And those that looked after me, I still very much remember to this day. You know, your, mm-hmm, a receptionist today may in fact be your client tomorrow. You never know what side of the fence that you'll be working on. So
that's
treat,
right,
everybody equally. People remember how they're treated.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's something. Certainly in our property industry, you know, a consultant today may be your client tomorrow. Just greet the street cleaner the way you'd greet the president. Treat everyone equally.
Yeah.
And that'll stand you in good stead when you are out there networking and building relationships.
Fantastic advice. I love it. So we just covered building relationships. So what we're about to discuss now is networking conversations. And so a couple of little gems that I've learned along the way, and you probably know this already, but you've walked into a function or you've walked into a room, and what I've noticed is you've always got people who are more than two people. So you get people who have been threes or fives,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, you've got a clump of people together, but you also get the people who are by themselves, and they'll be the ones that are around the end of the room, don't want to make eye contact, you know, they don't know anybody. And so what I always do is look for threes and look for ones. And that those, so if you go to a group of three, there's always two people engaged talking to each other, you know?
Yeah.
And, but the one person that's on the outskirts is maybe like injecting the conversation, but there's always two people generally in a conversation. You got someone. So as soon as you come over to that three, They'll engage with you, you know, and it makes sense. And then
I really like that.
Yeah. And then also as well with the people who are skating around that are just ones, you'll see them. They're doing figure eights going around the room and they're trying to see if they can see anybody they know and they don't. And then, so I always go and grab one of them as well. And again,
so relieved.
Yeah.
Thank you for making me.
Yes.
helping me.
So there you go. So you're giving them all this information. I'm giving you a little bit of gems. Yeah. Just threes and ones. That's the way to go. So in terms of you're in the room and, you know, you've done your elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. Everything's going tickety-boo.
Yes.
And but now you're in a conversation. So have you got any networking conversations, sort of tips that you can pass on to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will just say, you know, maybe I will take it back a level. Before you even got your elevator pitch, you know, how do you win when you're approaching that three? You know, how do you get that conversation going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, for me, it's all about – I mean, and just, you know, while we're on tips, you share with me your three in one. I remember when I first started to know that many people, when I was going to events, I'd go to the bar and get a drink. And my rule was I'd go and start talking to the people standing nearest the bar.
Oh, really?
That was what sort of rescued how I'd rescue myself and not feel so awkward standing there not knowing anyone. And I'd always look at their name tag and look at where they worked and think, you know, go through the Rolodex in my brain. Who do I know who's worked there? Or, you know, and drop that name in. And so, you know, when you are starting out and having that first conversation, you know, for me, I always just try to find a mutual connection.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the good thing about our industry, it's so small, that's usually pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
But also, whether if it's not a personal connection or someone that you've worked with, you know, it might be connection around sports. Ask them, you know, if you're in New South Wales, or if you know, what rugby team do they go for, or if the footy, AFL here in Victoria.
Yeah.
You know, what their interests might be. You know, do they have a young family?
Mm-hmm.
I'll always look for that, I guess, connection to start the conversation and be asking lots of questions. If you're finding that you're not getting too much on a personal level that they want to share with you, you know, go look to their professional history. You know, how long have you been at your current company for? Where have you worked previously? You know, are you enjoying it? What projects are you currently working on?
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, that's certainly another avenue that you can tap into, talking about their professional history.
Yeah.
I also, you know, when I'm networking, I always sort of think, what can I do for others? How can I help them? Who do they need to meet? Who can I introduce them to? You know, it's interesting for me having a national role. You know, I've primarily worked in Victoria.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm up in New South Wales and trying to, I guess, increase my network and relationships and friendships and friendly consultants that I can call upon when I'm in New South Wales. It's particularly when you're trying to establish new relationships. I always go with the mindset, how can I help them? Who can I help Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Who can I introduce Paul to help, to help him? And then in turn, he'll help me as well.
Vice versa. Yeah.
It sounds very obvious, but it's important to be across industry news and trends and what's happening. You don't want to go to these events and not be aware of, I guess, the latest market transactions or movements or whatnot. It's really important we are networking and having these discussions to, you know, to be informed and being credible. And people go, God, this is someone that I need to spend time with. They're across the latest news and they know what's going on. So I guess arm yourself with that intelligence of what's happening in the industry.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, you know, it's just is my last tip is really about the follow-up. You know, if you meet someone, add them on LinkedIn, write them the next day to saying, really enjoyed connecting with you last night, or, you know, here's that link to that restaurant that we discussed, or the follow-up's also really important too. And then they go, gosh, they actually, I really did enjoy meeting with them. And then you connect with them on LinkedIn and suddenly they're now part of your network.
Yes, I agree 100%. I think it's not all about just collecting business cards, is it? It's keeping that connection going.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and like you just said there, it's exchanging information and being part of what you can bring to them and then they can bring something to you as well.
I once worked with someone who was amazing at walking around the room and he'd come out of an event with, you know, 30 different business cards.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, he was very good at that. But I'd say to him the next day, but, you know, how many of those 30 business cards can you ring up and ask for a favor?
Yeah.
And, you know, my view is, you know, rather than getting 30 business cards, you know, if you come away with one new contact that's worthwhile investing time in, or you've now sort of got an authentic relationship that you can ring up and ask for an introduction or ask for that favor, or to me, that's far more impactful than coming away with 30 business cards.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're collecting cards, you're collecting 30 business cards, you might not even remember any of them, you know? He's meeting so many different people and just going whoosh, whoosh, getting cards. And
you're better off spending your time with one person and really connecting with them and and unlocking that friendship.
Exactly.
Investing your time. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you some quick fire questions and we're going to find out a little bit more about you, Whitney.
Fantastic.
Here we go. So what's the biggest challenge you're facing in your role right now and how are you tackling it?
Yeah, great question. The biggest challenge that I'm actually facing right now is, you know, I've built a bit of a network and I have a lot of people reaching out saying, hi, Wick, can you have a coffee with this person and give this person advice, or this person's keen to catch up with you.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that. And I guess I've built my career out of seeking out people and asking for their coffee, catch up and that advice. But yeah. my challenge that I do have right now is I could spend my entire week having coffee catch ups with people. Uh-huh. So that's probably my biggest challenge right now. You know, I still want to obviously always connect and support and help women, but I also have to do my job as well. So I'm working through finding that balance at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's probably my biggest challenge right now that I'm facing and how I'm trying to address it as well.
Great answer. Have you ever asked anyone for their autograph?
Oh, absolutely. You should see me at the Aussie Open with the tennis. I use my two children as props and deck them out in Australian Open tennis gear. And we are absolute. We stalk the players and we get all their signatures. And I say it's for the boys, but it's really for me.
Love it. Who's the most influential person in your life? Or who's been the most influential person in your life?
Great question. You know, I'm going to kind of cheat here.
You can have more than one.
And say, you know, my family. I feel so blessed with my upbringing and I guess the unusual background that I've had and that blended sort of American, Australian upbringing, but also the different backgrounds and educations. And you know, I've got a pretty amazing family that I've grown up with, you know, with my parents and my brother and sister. We're very, very close. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I've got a, you know, beautiful husband and children. And, you know, my family's had the biggest influence on my life, and I hope that I can have the same on my children's as well. But I feel very fortunate that my family have sort of guided me in every aspect of my life.
What a wonderful answer. That leads me on to my next question. So what is a funny story that your family tells about you that you'd like to share?
Oh, my. I will share this. I've always, I'm a busy person. I love activities. I could fill my day from dawn to dusk with activities, you know, whether it's sailing, whether it's tennis, whether it's golf, whether it's work. You know, my family and friends always growing up would always refer to Camp Whitney. Oh, we're on Camp Whitney. What's our next activity? What's our next activity that we're up to? I don't know if that's a really funny story, but that's certainly something, I guess that's the first thing that popped into my head when you asked me about that. being on Camp Whitney.
Ah, I love it. If you can be remembered for one thing, what would it be and why?
You know, I guess I'd like to be remembered for having an impact and just an impact on people. And, you know, whether that could be someone that I've worked with, whether it's, you know, my children, you know, I feel just pretty blessed with the life that I've had and grown up with and created, and you know, I am enjoying and loving and living, and but I'd just like to be able to think that I can, I guess I can pass some of that luck on and have an impact on other people in my life.
Fantastic answer. What is the one thing that you own that you should really throw out?
Oh my goodness. So these are getting deep. I am a type A Virgo, so I must admit I go through these, my husband would, you know, goes, oh God, here we go again, where I go through these binges where I just start throwing everything out in the house. You know, I guess I'm a little bit of a minimalist, but I don't do it gradually. I'll go through these massive, spend a weekend decluttering everything. I won't just gradually do it much to, you know, he would much prefer me to do it slowly and surely. So I probably don't have that much stuff in my life that I should throw out because it's probably already been thrown out in one of my crazy Virgo splurges.
I love it. I've got a funny feeling I'll know the answer to the next question. What's the most used app on your phone?
Oh, definitely LinkedIn, but closely followed by Instagram. I do enjoy connecting with friends Instagram as well.
What's your favorite smell?
Oh, the ocean. I love, yes, that salt sea air is just my absolute favorite, being out on the water. I feel like I'm home when I can smell the ocean.
Wonderful. What's your least favorite smell?
Least favorite smell? Oh, gosh. You know, cat litter. I'm allergic to cats. I really don't
Are you really?
Cats. Yeah. So probably anything to do with cats. It gives me hives and heebie-jeebies.
Oh, wow. Wasn't expecting you to say that. Can you describe the rest of your life in five words?
Family.
Yeah.
Tennis, sailing, golf, travel.
Lovely. And finally, Whit, I have to ask, what's the one question that you wish I asked you and how would have you answered it?
You've been so comprehensive. I've really enjoyed this discussion, and I love the quick fly 20 questions at the end as well that I wasn't prepared for.
But is there one question you wish I asked you?
Where am I going on holiday in a couple of weeks?
Where are you going on holiday in a couple of weeks?
I am. I'm off to the States, which is my favorite place to go visit with my family, having a month over there, four weeks, and it combines, I guess, the five keywords for the rest of my life: tennis, golf, sailing, travel, family, America.
Oh, I love it. Whitney, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really inspiring, interesting, and such a fascinating discussion. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And I'm sure everyone tuning in will agree this truly has been a masterclass in business development.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me. I've really, really enjoyed the discussion.
I'm Paul Angus. You've been listening to Talking Buildings. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Talking Buildings, a SIBSE Australia and New Zealand production. You can download previous episodes or subscribe to future ones by searching SIBSE Talking Buildings, that's CIBSE, on your favourite podcast app.